Good afternoon, everyone. Last night, Officer Grant of the Springdale Police Department in Hamilton County was killed. Our thoughts go out to her family. We're so very, very sorry for her loss. I know that she was a very well-respected officer of the department. Injured was Officer Davis, and we're thinking about him as well. I've ordered the flags in Hamilton County to fly at half-mast between now and Officer Grant's funeral. I've also directed that the flags here at the State House fly at half-mast in her honor. I've also ordered that the flags in Mahoning County, as well as the State House and the Rife and the Rhodes buildings, fly at half-mast for Representative Don Manning. Don Manning died, as we talked about yesterday. And again, we are thinking of his family, as well as Officer Grant's family. The General Assembly is coming back into session next week, and I know they'll be taking up a number of issues. One of the issues that I am asking them to take up has to do with the state-mandated testing for our school children in Ohio. I think it is time for us to make the decision, and I'm asking them to forego testing this year, state-mandated testing. The Board of Pharmacy met in emergency session and passed an emergency measure today, and I thank them for that. In regard to what has become a rush on a drug and drugs, and that is malaria drugs. They set out provisions, specific provisions, in regard to the prescribing of this drug. This drug will be allowed to be prescribed for its intended purposes. It certainly will also be allowed to be prescribed for COVID-19 for someone who has tested positive for that. Again, this was an action that was necessary by the Pharmacy Board, and I thank them for doing that. My fellow Ohioans, we have not faced an enemy like we are facing today in 102 years. You have to go back to the 1918 influenza epidemic. We are certainly at war. I don't know any other way to describe this but to say that we are at war. In a time of war, we have to make sacrifices. And I certainly, in the last week or so, have asked the people of Ohio to make many sacrifices. And I thank each and every one of you for all that you are doing every single day, all that you're refraining from doing, how your life has changed. Not something we wanted, but I thank you for doing that, because what you're doing is making a huge, huge difference. I am convinced that we can do this. We can do this. I had someone yesterday say to me, you know, Mike, we can do this. We're strong. We certainly can do this. We're Buckeyes. And I would say to that, absolutely correct. We are Ohioans. We are Buckeyes. We're strong. We can get through this. We can do this. All the evidence shows, every piece of evidence that I can lay my hands on, indicates that we are at an absolutely crucial time in this war, and that what we do now will make all the difference in the world. What we do now will slow this invader. It will slow this invader so that our healthcare system, our doctors, our nurses, all the professionals, the hospitals, we'll have time. We'll have time to treat the casualties. will have time to treat those who have come down with COVID-19 and also have time to treat everyone else who might have had a heart attack or might have had a stroke or some other medical problem. Time is of the essence, and we have to buy that time. We have to do it by the strong actions that you all have been taking. We're now at a new stage, continuation of what really has been going on. Dr. Acton, who has done such a phenomenal job, just signed an Ohio Health Director's order. Dr. Acton just signed a stay-at-home order for all Ohioans. Other states have referred to this as shelter-in-place. We prefer stay-at-home. Either one, it's pretty much the same thing. And that order will be up online shortly. You'll have the opportunity to look at it. But let me just start by saying that there really is nothing in that order that we have not already been talking about. There's nothing in that order that I have not been asking you to do for the last week or so. This order has really three separate parts. The first part is stay-at-home order. And it allows, this is the copy of the order that Dr. Acton just signed. It is self-explanatory. I think for a government document, it's pretty easy to read. But it does permit exceptions to staying at home. And these are the common sense ones that we have been talking about. Leaving home for essential activities is permitted. For health and safety, for necessary supplies and services, for outdoor activity, take a walk, walk your dog, go to a park, although playgrounds, which are particularly susceptible to the spread of disease, are closed. Certain types of work, work that's deemed essential, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And the final one, E on page two, to take care of others. We don't want anyone to misunderstand. You still can take care of your neighbor. You can still take care of your mother, your dad, your child. I'll just read from it. To care for a family member, a friend, or pet in another household, and to transport family members, friends, or pets is allowed by this order. This includes attending weddings and funerals. Again, it's common sense. The second part of the order lists the essential businesses that will be allowed to stay open. And I want to point out that we use the Homeland Security document identifying essential workers. This document has been used, I know, by several other states as well. And I think these are generally the accepted businesses that are essential for us to continue to live. For each, the third part I would like to talk about is that each of the businesses that are allowed to stay open must follow good protocol, good guidelines in regard to health. Let me turn to page eight and read some of these. Again, nothing new, nothing that we have not been talking about, nothing that Dr. Acton has not been talking about. For purposes of this order, social distancing requirements includes maintaining at least 6-foot social distancing from other individuals, washing hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, and on and on. Required measures, businesses, designate 6-foot distances. Workers should not be any closer than 6 foot, and it talks about that. Hand sanitizer and sanitizing products must be readily available for employees and customers. Number 3, separate operating hours for vulnerable populations, implementing separate operating hours for the elderly and vulnerable customers. Online and remote access, posting online whether a facility is open and how best to reach the facility and continue services by phone. And there's many more. But these are just basic common sense things that we have covered. But the businesses that will be able to remain open will be subject to these specific, what is now an order. This document, these orders can be enforced by the local health departments as well as local law enforcement. The order will start, go into effect tomorrow night at midnight. So at actually 11:59 p.m. Monday night. It will stay in effect until April 6. We obviously will reassess that order at that time. Let me talk for a moment about daycare. As the days have gone on, the number of children in daycare has gone down dramatically. If you look at the state-subsidized daycare, at the beginning of the coronavirus, there was 117,000 children in daycare subsidized by the state of Ohio. That number has gone down to about 17,000. So it's gone from 117 down to 17,000. We do not have good numbers in regard to private daycare, where the state is not involved. The best estimate is that there was about 183,000, and there could be around 40,000 in daycare today. The obvious concern in regard to daycare is when you're putting a large number of children together, the social distancing does not work too well, and children are known to share about everything. So we have known that this is a potential challenge. As I said, we've seen these numbers just with no real action by the government go down appreciably. It is time now to move to that next stage with daycare. And our goals are to keep the kids safe, keep the families of the children safe, and also to make sure that there are enough essential workers, starting with the healthcare industry, to be able to man our hospitals and to do the jobs that need to be done. So we will have a change in daycare, and this change will start on Thursday. All centers beginning on Thursday must operate under a temporary pandemic child care license. And I know some centers have already applied for that, and that is in the works with some of them. We are going down to a maximum of 6 children per room. 6 children per room. This is a rather dramatic change. But I felt that was necessary to minimize the risk to these children from other children in regard to coronavirus, but also the risk that poses to that child's family when that child goes home. By putting them into groups of 6, we are minimizing that risk and, in a sense, compartmentalizing these kids. And let me read a part of what the order will say. Small group sizes, no more than 6 children in a class. Ratio and group sizes, reduce ratios to 1 teacher to no more than 6 children. Limit use of shared space or mixing of groups. If shared space is used, must have a rigorous cleaning schedule, and we would recommend actually not having common space so that you would have the 6 children who would be in one unit. Keep children of parents of the same employer together whenever possible. Again, to try to keep down the risk. Limit parent interaction at the drop-off and pickup. This program will operate until April 30th, and certainly may be extended beyond that period of time. Let me now turn to Dr. Acton for comments, and then Lieutenant Governor John Houston.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to begin, as I always do, with the numbers. And I must say again, these numbers are pouring in to us. I'm hearing of cases that are happening at the local level but have not yet been reported to the state. So what I give you when I give you this data is what is known, usually earlier in the day, that we make final on our website at 2 p.m. Today we have 351 confirmed cases in Ohio, which, as we know and we have spoken of, is the tip of the iceberg of what we're seeing. We heard news of someone close to us just on our way in here that I know isn't in this data. The illness onset range is February 7th through March 22nd. The age range remains 1 year of age to 93 years of age, with a median age of 51 years. We have 83 hospitalizations, numerous ICU. We still have 3 deaths that are confirmed in Cuyahoga, Erie, and Lucas. We now have 40 counties confirming cases in Ohio. I've said over and over to you that every one of us matters and every day matters, but today is the day that matters. Today is the day that we have to batten down those hatches. Today is the day we're doing, you know, the final orders about staying at home and moving to a model of essential business. I want to tell you that is absolutely essential in Ohio that we don't do this in a piecemeal way, or even around this country. It's absolutely what the scientists are telling us. Again, today, I'm exchanging messages and we'll be having a long conversation with the people who invented the model we're following, the flatten the curve. There's no time left. Listen to what Italy is telling us. Today is the day. We have absolutely got to do everything in our power, each and every one of us, to protect the people on the front lines. Those essential people, those frontline responders and healthcare workers, those folks doing those essential businesses that will make sure that they protect us. They make sure that we have the food and the medicines and the healthcare we need. So we must protect them so that they can protect us. This is a war on a silent enemy. I don't want you to be afraid. I am not afraid. I am determined. But I need you to do everything. I want you to think about the fact that this is our one shot in this country. All of us are going to have to sacrifice. And I know someday we'll be looking back and wondering, what was it we did in this moment? There will be so many heroes. I'm following your stories every day. You're heroic when you stay at home and watch your neighbor who's a nurse's child. Everyone is being heroic right now, and I can tell you that every action you take is mattering. But this is that moment. It is our one shot. I can tell you that I already envision a future that is full of hope. I've told you my story about how absolutely essential hope is. It's the one thing that made a difference in a really rough childhood that I had. And I feel more hope than I've ever felt. I actually believe that life is not shutting down right now. Life is not shutting us down, although we're being quiet now and we're making that physical distance. Life seems like it's shutting down, but I feel like life is waking us up. I see a vision of a future that is brighter than we have known. I say that from all my heart. I just know it in my heart and soul. So please, don't feel like this is pulling us apart. I believe this is drawing us to each other and binding us to each other. But it will have to be all of us following the direction the governor is laying out to go into this battle and make these sacrifices. We will be with you every step of the way, and we'll continue to share everything as we know it. And I do see us on the other side. Please help us. Thank you.
John.
Thank you, Governor. I want to go through some things that we hope will serve as great resources for business. Just quickly on an overview of the director's stay-at-home order. The goal of this is simply to provide the clear game plan of what it's going to take for us all to defeat the coronavirus. And for business leaders out there and business owners, employees, this information, if it's not already up, will soon be at coronavirus.ohio.gov. Read it. The intent was to make it as clear as possible for you to have the guidance that you need to make the decisions that will help all of us. I want people to know out there, again, we do not do these things in isolation. We may not be physically together with people, but we consult business, labor, the not-for-profit community, all kinds of advocates to develop the policies that the governor is taking action on. And I know that on this particular order, know that we have the support of the National Federation for Independent Business. We have the Farm Bureau, the Manufacturers Association, the Retailers Association, the Ohio Business Roundtable, and the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, along with consulting with numerous other business and trade organizations so that we could put something together that would keep us healthy and keep essential business functions in the supply chain moving. One of the things that businesses have been asking is, can we go to a central site to find all the information that is needed for us to help our employees or help with business disaster relief, et cetera. And we have that at coronavirus.ohio.gov/businesshelp. That is available as a central location where you can find SBA disaster relief, information on the BWC premium deferrals until June, information on the liquor buyback for restaurants and bars, also the healthcare premium deferral that's being made available for 60 days. All of these resources to help cushion the blow, the economic blow that we know that you're facing. It is also important for you to know that while there are some businesses who won't be operating due to these restrictions, there are some businesses that are critical to the supply chain who are in desperate need of assistance. There are businesses all around the state who are hiring by the thousands. We've been contacted by Walmart, Kroger, Meijer, Giant Eagle, Marks, the part of the grocery grocery store supply chain who need your help. They are hiring. From Amazon, who delivers your packages, to Gojo, who makes the hand sanitizers that many of you use. Discount Drug Mart, I might add, pizza delivery, all kinds of convenience stores that provide gasoline, things of that nature. Much of that information for you is available at ohiomeansjobs.com. And you know, you who are in the workforce, Governor has asked, well, he's ordered today that you stay home, except for those essential needs. And there are many of you out there who are working on the front lines to provide those essential needs, and we are grateful. We want to keep the businesses open that are part of that very supply chain that gives us the opportunity to live our lives with the food and healthcare necessities, et cetera, that we need. And so please continue to do those kinds of things. We need you. We're all in this together. We thank you for the great work that you're all doing out there.
Happy to answer any questions. Scott?
Hey, Governor, thanks for taking my question. Scott Hallis, Senior Daily Gazette, AIM Media, Ohio. You mentioned that the businesses who aren't exempted, that can be enforced by the health department and local law enforcement. What type of sanctions or penalties could these businesses that aren't exempt be facing if they are caught operating when they're not supposed to be?
Well, the first thing we would certainly want the businesses to do is to check. Take a look at this. I think that they will be able to figure this out by the document, but if for some reason they have a question, we can certainly answer that question. This was not designed to be punitive, but this is a health order. It's not a health suggestion. So it is a health order, and we would expect people to simply comply with it. So it's not just, as I said, there's really three different parts of this order. All of them are an essential part of the order, and we would expect people to the businesses to follow that. Again, nothing shocking here. If you look at how we are telling businesses that some of the safety precautions as far as health precautions, these are the same things that we've been outlining for some time, and Dr. Acton has been outlining.
Governor Jeff Redick from ABC 6 News here in Columbus. I want to see if you can provide more information on testing. If there's any assurances about testing, of course, everyone wants a test. It's going to take some time before that ramps up. Could that be within 30 days? And have you also seen, heard anything, had any discussions about in-home testing that we've heard rumored might be available?
I'm going to let Dr. Acton answer that question in regard to the testing, Doctor.
Thank you, and I'll refer you again back to the last two press conferences that we've had for more details on this. We still remain with an incredible shortage of testing in Ohio, so we are reserving that testing capability for the highest risk hospitalized patients. That helps us decide how to best treat and sort of protect the others in that environment. You'll see that with clusters, some of our nursing home outbreaks. You'll see that used with our frontline first responders and those at most risk. I have great hope, as I've mentioned, and we'll be talking much more in the week to come about our hospital capacity, our surge. I'm really gonna help Ohioans focus now where my focus is going to lie, which is on our response and doing this well to our best ability. But we do have medical facilities and Battelle and others inventing things as we speak, so that could change any day now. There was word of a new test that will be rapid, but they say it will be at least a month till that is actually online. So for now, most of us will not be tested. If we're suspected with the symptoms, your provider will talk to you about staying home and how to best take care of yourself. I know that's frightening to people, but we need to understand that is the truth. There is not widespread testing available, and so we are conserving those resources to use them very wisely to stop the spread of this disease.
This is Jackie Borchert from the Cincinnati Enquirer. I have just a couple quick nuts and bolts type question from people who are watching this. What kind of exercise outside will be allowed? Will you still be able to go out to a restaurant to get your carryout food? And who can go to a pandemic childcare center?
Well, I'll take the restaurant question. Carryout is still okay. Restaurants provide a huge percentage of people's food today. And so in our previous order, we allowed that carry out. Obviously, we would advise people to do the social distancing, do all the things that they need to do. But if they can come get that, pick that up, that certainly is allowed. Second question had to do with what? I'm sorry.
The other two were what kind of outside exercise will be allowed or prohibited, and then who can go to a pandemic child care center?
Well, look, again, you can do, your kids can play in your yard. You can do a lot of different things as far as outside. In fact, it's one of the things we recommend. Go check out your state park, your metro park. Again, just keep the social distancing. I think people need to get out. I plan to do a little walking this afternoon, so... get out and find a place you can walk, and it's part of the mental health. We all have to get through this.
I would add that there'll be a lot more suggestions on coronavirus.ohio.gov. What we're really saying now is stay to your very small group of folks that you're weathering out this storm, and even if you're walking. Being out and about just with that group of people, with distance, walking your dog, going on that hike, those things will be okay. But mostly we need folks being at home, snuggling up with the Netflix, binge watching your way through this, doing the kinds of things that we've been talking to you about doing. What's so essential here, though, is I need to not drive to this press conference and see folks going around like business as usual. This is not a joke. This is not a drill. We all need to limit this exposure and stop the spread of disease. And the choices you are making right now are going to help save lives, or you, not even knowing it, could be spreading this virus. This is the time that you will see quiet descend on our country, as it should, so that we can protect the people who are going to protect us. And when they're out and they're having to go to work, when that daycare provider that is making that choice, that they're sort of risking themselves to still help provide that child care for those few folks left who we need working, we want to protect them too. So these are the times that are really calling on us. I know it's been hard to get our head around it, but this is the time you really need to follow this and make your circle very small and quiet.
Jackie, the list of essential activities that are permitted and the list of things where you can find these kinds of examples is under Section 5 of this. The outdoor activities are listed under Section C, but I encourage people to read the order because it's all in there. It's a lot of thought went into it to try to help give the feel for what you're allowed to do, and it's pretty well delineated throughout the executive order.
And I think really it's a blueprint of how we get through this. I mean, it's a blueprint of what you can do, what you shouldn't do, and it's all based on what we know about this virus. It's all based on what we know about health, and it's very, very essential, very, very important.
C Sierra 10 TV. I guess rather than do a stay-at-home order, why did you feel a lockdown was not necessary to slow the spread?
Well, look, I think all this is terminology. Some people use different terminology. I'm not even sure what a lockdown means. This is an order. It's not a suggestion. It's an order, but it's a reasonable order. It is consistent with public health. It's consistent with what needs to be done. If everybody does this, everybody cooperates, we're going to save a lot of lives. We're going to buy time in the sense that our healthcare system is not going to get overwhelmed. So, I would not, I'd say to all of you, don't get fixated on our choice of words. We could have called it many, many things. I'm kind of a simple person. So I just call it stay-at-home order, and it seemed to me to make sense. But there are, as we've already pointed out, there's certainly common sense exceptions. You go to the grocery store, you go to the pharmacy. You go on a mercy mission. You're taking food to your next door neighbor who can't get out. I mean, these are basic things, but it's time. It's time we had to make this into an order. It's time that we had to really get down to essential businesses. It's time we had to do absolutely everything that we can, because that's going to impact the future. That's going to impact where this virus goes. And the lesson of history, time after time, has been if you don't do these things early enough, you pay the price. And the price you pay is a lot of people dying.
And if I might, Governor, add, it is nomenclature. People are using shelter in place. This started on the coast and a lot of their emergency language that everyone understood from dealing with hurricanes was shelter in place. That has a very distinct meaning in certain parts of this country. And so staying at home is the same thing. I can tell you that Homeland Security has provided guidance to all the states on what essential services and activities are. And we used that, and we looked at every other state order. We've looked at Pennsylvania. We found Illinois to be particularly strong. I know others will be moving forward in this space. It's all the same thing.
Hi, this is Danny Eldridge with Hannah News Service. I was just wondering if you could give us an update on what the state's doing to get more PPE and ventilators, and should Ohioans be making masks at home? I've seen reports of that.
Well, I'll let Dr. Acton take that. I mean, as far as making masks, I think you'd have to make sure you had the right equipment, knew exactly what you were doing. So I think that's probably a difficult task to duplicate what really is needed, but I'll let Dr. Acton answer that.
Thank you. Today, I really want everyone to focus on this order and understanding what it means for their lives. In the week to come, we're going to be talking a lot about PPE. We're going to talk a lot about what's happening in the hospitals. We have tremendous folks working on this. Battelle is working on a way to sterilize existing masks and things, that this is a new technology. We have folks procuring every mask. As you know, we're trying to get all the non-elective surgeries. We're having all that equipment brought in. We have a whole triage sort of supply chain logistics to that. Part of my Department of Health is a huge warehouse where we keep those things. We are monitoring all of that in our emergency operating system to redeploy as the situation unfolds. So we are maximizing what we have. Everyone is waiting and working with the federal government to get more, but we also have a number of businesses in Ohio that are looking at making things for us, and I'll have a lot more to share with you in the days to come. In terms of what you make at home, when you see a lot of folks around the world wearing the more simpler surgical mask, when someone is sick, we know this is aerosolized, so that even a bandana or something like that keeps people from putting it on other people. And I suppose we will see some homemade remedies that way as well. If you're at home, we're gonna get sick. Remember, over time, 40 to 60% at least of the population will get this over the course of a year. So you'll be at home, and at home to the extent you can, and this varies widely for all of us, not all of this, us have the same options, but trying to isolate even at home, keeping folks in a little bit separate bedroom if possible, trying to use all those same precautions even when someone in your family is sick, that will help a lot as well.
Whitney Harding, NBC4 here in Columbus for Dr. Acton. A couple questions, well, one question but two phases on the anti-malarial drugs that we've seen so much about, and that's kind of what I wanted to start here, is there is so much out there about them. So could you, real quick, for viewers, listeners, readers, is this a cure? And then to follow that up, we've gotten a lot of feedback from people who take those drugs for their autoimmune diseases, cannot get their hands on them, so what can they do now?
That's right. I think it's very important to know that we really don't know the answer to that yet. And therefore, in Ohio, because we saw that people might, you know, it's not doesn't always bring out the best in us, but there is amount of hoarding going on of things. So our pharmacology board here in Ohio, we work together to make an order to keep it to 14-day supply, and you need to have a doctor's order. Fellow physicians, primary care folks out there, let's be really wise about this. This drug is essential to folks with many autoimmune and rheumatologic diseases. They will have deterioration if they cannot use this drug. There is a shortage, and we really need to use this judiciously. It is not preventive. It's not going to keep you from getting this. It's really important that we're thoughtful about our drug supply. And, you know, the scientists are not sure. It was seen as promising, and really it was supposed to be used in these life and death circumstances when we really are out of things to try. And so we're doing our best in the state of Ohio to moderate that response. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is for Dr. Acton. Dr. Acton, you've cited repeatedly a study from the Imperial College of London that says in an unmitigated epidemic, 2.2 million Americans will die, and we can about halve that number with some serious mitigation. Is that still the scope of morbidity that we're looking at now?
I've been following many, many studies. There'll be new studies every week as this goes on, but there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt in my mind that we have to ratchet down what we're doing in society just the way we're doing. Listen to Italy, listen to them beg us to not make the mistakes. You're hearing it from the folks who are right ahead of us in this curve. We have not a day to spare. It is time for us to do this because we know it can at least halve that. We don't know what all is around the corner. We might be able to slow this down enough, take some of that stress off our hospitals. I know hospitals in Ohio are speaking to you today that they are making all the changes they can because they know this is coming. They're not doing this as a drill. They know this surge is coming. But they're asking all of us to take these measures. But everything we do will make a difference in that. We have the opportunity to change our history if we choose to. We can change that curve. And then we don't know 2 weeks from now that one of the many drugs we're testing might make a difference. There are miracles around the corner. There are inventions yet to be made that might change all of that trajectory. But right now what we have is the governor and this order and what we're all doing together to mitigate this. These are the weapons of war we have, and we must use them fully. We will be so sorry if we don't.
So, thank you. I want to add something here. I know that everybody is probably right now going to coronavirus.ohio.gov, and the website's probably very slow and very difficult to get information as hundreds of thousands of people are going there. Remember, this order takes place, goes into action tomorrow night at 11:59, Monday night, 11:59. We're giving time for people to be able to get access to that information, to be able to discern it, and to be able to make their decisions based on that information. So we know that you're probably all going there. We're going to be disseminating this executive order through a variety of channels. You will get access to it, and we will make sure that you have time to adjust your life to comply with it. Just one of the things that I know is probably going on right out there right now that we need to reassure you on.
Dan Pasiak, WHIO Television, Dayton. What professions are considered essential to still go to work besides first responders, healthcare workers? And we've seen pictures of large congregation churches still meeting, you know, this morning. Do you have a message to them besides just social distancing?
Well, let me take the last one first. Look, we did not order our religious organizations, our churches, our synagogues, mosques, but my message to everyone is this is serious. When you're coming together, whether it's in a church or wherever it is dangerous. It is just dangerous. You know, we have abilities to do things by TV. We have ability to do things by other ways. And I would just, you know, implore ministers, priests, rabbis, everyone, think about your congregation. You know, the Catholic bishops, for example, in Ohio basically have closed all public services. You know, we just have to be very, very careful, and coming together in a large group is just not a good idea. In fact, it is just very, very, very dangerous. As far as looking at what is in this order, I think, again, it's hard to generalize. It is based on what Homeland Security said was essential. You'll find that there'll be many companies that will be allowed to be in business because they're somewhere on the chain. You've got a transportation chain that is very important. You have a number of products that are very, very important. So it's just very hard to generalize in regard to what is in here. We would just ask you to read this and take a look at it.
Governor Andy Chow with Ohio Public Radio and Television, State House News Bureau. Like you just said, you encourage people to read it. I'm sure for a lot of people out there, they might start to feel a feeling of confusion, a feeling of fear. Can you sort of outline for people who might be afraid, oh, what if I do this and it's wrong? What if I do that? And that actually goes against the order. One, what are the penalties for this order? And how would you sort of lay out through common sense measures how people should carry on throughout their days with this order?
Well, historically, and that's a great question. Thank you very, very much. Historically, the law is a teacher. And we've seen that throughout history. And, you know, most laws in the books, you know, they're there, but you know, they're not really, not people are not really charged. They're there. Now this is a second degree misdemeanor. It can be enforced by the 113 health departments around the state. It can be enforced by local police, but it is, we don't look to, you know, in 2 days from now to see a bunch of people being arrested. That is not what we're trying to accomplish here. But we're trying to show the seriousness of this. This is no longer a suggestion. This is no longer, hey, this is a good idea. This is something that is important. It's important enough to put it into a health order. And, you know, again, for the businesses that are staying open, I would just tell them, you know, you really need to follow this. This is just very, very important that you follow this. The social distancing in a business is important. And you need to figure out how you can do that. You need to figure out how you check when an employee comes in. You need to make sure that when that employee has some health problem, that employee goes home. That employee stays home. So a lot of this is going to depend on, you know, our businesses to do it. But this is the order. It will become an official order at 12:59 tomorrow night. But again, we're not, you know, someone should, sitting at home right now watching this, you know, they should just read it. Take a look at it. It's common sense. It's the things you would think you could do. You know, can I go out and take a walk? Yes, you can go to take a walk. Can I help my neighbor? Yes, I can go help my neighbor. You know, and my dog's hungry. Can I get dog food? Yeah. I mean, these are basic things. But again, every time you go out, there is a risk. And what we're saying is just be mindful of what you're doing. Be mindful of when you go out. And, you know, it's sort of like when you have an energy crisis and people say, okay, well, instead of going out five different trips to do things, well, I only take one trip and I'm very mindful of what I'm doing. And so we just ask them to be mindful of that. Fewer trips, very mindful of what they do when they go out. And that social distancing, again, is very, very important.
Governor, if I could add a couple things to that. First of all, in the church question, it is dangerous to be out in large congregations. We're not prohibiting it, but you're putting yourself at risk. I know when I left home today, my wife and children were watching our church on Facebook Live. Our church made that available. There are a variety of ways that we can stay in touch using technology where you don't need to physically be present. And I know that this is probably scary to some people, a little overwhelming to others. Businesses are asking questions. And you will get a chance to review this document, but I want to reemphasize a couple things here. We worked with business, because what business told us, from manufacturers to food producers to everybody, we need consistency in the supply chain. And so we worked with them using the Homeland Security document on that basis, because they really want states to be consistent. Many states are doing their own orders on this. This is consistent with what the industry groups who are leading this conversation have asked us to do so that the supply chain won't be interrupted. Now, I know that there's going to be a business out there who's going to say, well, I'm not vital, but I've got to go in because I have either plants that are growing or animals to take care of, for example, the zoo. We know that the zoo is closed, but those animals need to be taken care of. In those situations, people can go do those things to keep up the, as we put it under the section 13 of this, minimum basic operations. We are going to allow for those kinds of things to happen. So we did this with the practicality of these issues in mind to make sure that you could do what you needed while also being safe and healthy.
Thank you.
And Andy, on a personal note, Fran and I enjoyed seeing the Facebook post with your two children.
Thank you.
Maybe you could tell everybody else how they could see it, or what it was.
Sure, it's on my Twitter account. But yeah, we're trying to get creative, entertaining the kids. So
you want to tell everybody what you did?
The hair dryer one. Yeah, I took a hair dryer and a piece of tissue and just kind of kept the tissue up with a hair dryer, and that was a good hour of fun for them. It kept them distracted for a while. So thank
well,
you.
it made our evening. So we enjoyed it very much. We looked at it a few times. So,
thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
And if I could add, you know, if there is, I imagine what the Lieutenant Governor was saying is that our website is probably being overwhelmed by the traffic right now. If the media could help us, it's very simple. It's just extending what we've already been doing, but we'll get this to you. And if you could help us start to translate this in as many ways as possible, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Governor Jeff Redick from ABC 6 News, again, and your communications chief here has asked me to notify you this is the last question, so no pressure. But as you know, there are certain things that an order cannot stop in Ohio, one of those being the weather. Central Ohio was just recently impacted by some severe flooding and some catastrophic damage. Do you anticipate any declaration of emergency additionally for that damage? And to that end, there are a lot of contractors going into homes now for estimates and repairs. Will that be affected by the stay-at-home order?
No, this should not be. I mean, essential services and work that needs to be done, plumbing, electric, things like that. And as far as whether we issue that order, I don't have all the facts in yet, but we certainly will advise you. In conclusion, just a couple things. You know, I am as I've told people, I'm an optimist. My wife Fran says anybody with eight kids by definition is an optimist, but I'm an optimist. And we're going to get through this. We're going to make it. Ohioans are doing what they have to do. Ohioans are out there. We're going to get through this. I'm reminded of a quote from Abraham Lincoln, and if I could just read it. Lincoln said, "I'm a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis." And that's the way I feel about the people of the state of Ohio. Dr. Acton and I and the Lieutenant Governor, every day at 2 o'clock, have tried to tell you what we know and when we know it. We've tried to tell you the truth as we are seeing that truth and the facts that we know. I'm optimistic that Ohioans will do what they have to do in the next few days. These are, in fact, crucial, crucial days. As I said, I'm an optimist. I think I got my optimism from my father. Fran and I, yesterday, noticed around our house the daffodils were starting to come out. And when I see the daffodils, I think of my dad. My dad was, it was 2008, he was dying of pancreatic cancer. Had to know he was dying. It was the fall of that year, and he's someone who throughout his life had planted trees, just as both of my grandfathers had done, even into their late years. And my father insisted that fall that daffodils be planted again. And I know that he had to know, that he would not see them. But he had confidence in the future. He had confidence that his kids and his grandkids would see those daffodils, see them keep coming up year after year. So I'm optimistic. The daffodils and other things you're seeing starting to come up remind us of spring, remind us of rebirth, remind us of hope, and optimism that there is a future out there. And we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. We're a tough people. We're resilient. I've seen it time and time again, whether it's in floods or tornadoes, and I've seen neighbors out there helping neighbors and people picking stuff up and people feeding other people. So we're all in this together in a unique way. What each one of us does determines the future of everybody else. And so we're in this boat together, but I'm confident that we're going to make it. I'm confident that we're going to do what we have to do, slow this thing down. We need to sort of get angry at it because it is the enemy. It's the enemy. And I've likened this to a war. I know some people may think that's strange, but this is a war. We've been invaded. It's a silent invader. You don't see it until someone gets sick, but it's an invader. And it depends upon us, frankly, to help it. No time to be helping the enemy. No time to do that. It's time for all of us to do what we have to do. So in this time of during the week that spring started, our daughter Jill's birthday on what usually is the first day of spring or the first full day of spring, the 21st of this month. This is a time for optimism. We can do it, and let's stick together. Let's get it done. We'll see you all tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you.